What's up, everybody? We are back again. This is another episode of the Surf and Sales Podcast. I'm Scott Leese, joined by my good friend and partner, Richard Harris. What's up, buddy?
Good to see you again for our second episode of the day. So it's like I feel like I just saw you 10 minutes ago because I did.
But yeah, well, good to be back. We're very much binge podcasters.
Yes, we are. We are indeed.
We might have a little week or two where we don't do anything, and then all of a sudden we have like nine.
Yes.
Crammed into 3 days.
You know? Yes, 100%.
That's how we do things. Well, that's our own fault since we did 200 episodes the very first year.
Yeah.
And one of those episodes, I believe, was with our friend Dave Kennett, who's the CEO and founder of Replays. And he's back, season four years later. We welcome Dave Kennett back to the show. What's going on, bud?
Hey, great to be here again. Looking forward to the chat. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, nothing has really changed in the last 4 years, has it?
Zero. Especially
world is still the same.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of those changes as it pertains to sales coaching in particular, which I know is a huge passion of yours and what Replays is all about. What is working right now as far as coaching goes? And let's get into that. And then let's get into what's on the horizon in terms of where coaching is going. So what are you seeing work right now as pertains to sales coaching inside of companies and the clients that y'all work with?
Well, it's spotty is what I would say. And good coaching is spotty, even in really good, hardcore sales coaching organizations. And it's spotty, as you guys know, and the sales leaders who are listening, is the nature of the frontline sales manager role. It's kind of like that role, I think, is one of the most sandwiched roles in an organization. With all the stuff that's going downhill to a sales manager and them having to manage up, report up, all that kind of stuff, and then really support their sales team, be there for them. And I think the thing that gets missed way too often is that unofficial pact a sales leader has with the sales rep, which is, hey, I'm going to help you get better. And one of those things is helping you get better about what you say on a sales call, what order you say it in, and how you say it. And I think that most sales, frontline sales managers realize how important that is. They just don't have time to actually do it. They don't make time to do it. I didn't used to make time to do it. And that's not changed in the last 4 years. And that's what I still see not going well. Since we talked, we set out to solve that with AI. And I believe we have, and our customers say we have. So that's exciting. But I mean, the conversations still need to happen with a sales manager and sales rep.
It's so interesting that the excuse, for lack of a better word, of I don't have time to coach everybody is just as prevalent today as it was 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. With the introduction of all of these tools over the last few years that are designed to give us more productivity and more time back. And yet everybody's excuse is still the same. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it starts at the top. I think it starts with the chief revenue officer. And I think that person needs to hire people who believe in as much about coaching as we're talking about here. And then that VP or SVP will hire a director who also believes in it, who will hire frontline sales managers who also believe in it. And then systemically, they'll build KPIs that actually support coaching at scale, i.e. how many calls were reviewed this month. I mean, anyone who's listening who's got Gong, you're three clicks away from going in to see how many calls were reviewed by your sales managers in the last 3 months. Most of you are going to see that less than four calls are in there. Less than 1% of calls get reviewed. And you know what? Let's not lambaste the sales manager. Again, I've been there. I get it. But I think a productive plan needs to be put in place. So to me, it just starts at the top.
But what is the prevalence of that? Like, is it that people want more data? Is it because we've all had a lack of training of how to actually manage human beings? Is it unrealistic goals, therefore we don't have time? Like we've been hearing this problem since I was actually a sales leader and Scott was still, maybe preteen, right? Like it's been going on that long. So he might've been in middle school maybe, but
you know,
what's the mental challenge people have not decided to absorb? I think I know the answer, but I want to hear yours.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's three things. One is, yes, there's definitely people that fall into the category of, they just don't know how to be good coaches. And so they shy away from it. I didn't know how to coach well when I was, you know, first time sales manager. The second is, it's the first thing to slip because there's no consequence for it to slip. Who's the director that's going to give me crap as a sales manager if I didn't coach any calls? And the third thing is, an AI tool now exists. Listen, Gong and Chorus and all of these companies, I have deep respect for them and what they built. And they have a lot of really good use cases, but they're not coaching companies. I think of Gong like a VCR. It records stuff. Okay. But that doesn't make me a better coach. Like
you can say that.
What makes me a better coach is understanding how the sales rep did on the call at scale. I push a button and I see my sales organization of 300 sales reps, exactly how they did that day. That to me is a coaching tool that did not exist in market a year and a half ago. Now it does with Replays IQ and a couple others. And so I think that was a missing component. There's now no longer any excuses.
What do you think it is, Scott? I have an answer to this question too. I'm curious what you think. Why are people still mentally challenged by this lack of realization about coaching?
I think ultimately people are selfish and they just want to spend time in the areas that they believe benefit them and put the most coins in their pocket and protect their neck. So Dave made an excellent point about the lack of consequences.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm behind on my number, there's a consequence for that. There's no consequence if I'm behind on the KPI of coaching my reps. Why? Well, because nobody cares about the development of reps at a founder, big company level. They don't care about that. They care about your productivity. They don't care about the human being as much as they want to tell a story that they do. So the people who make the best coaches and sales leaders and founders for that matter to me are people who actually are teachers. People actually who get a lot more joy and pleasure out of helping other people achieve their goals and get where they want to go than they do in helping themselves.
Yep.
It's a very selfless kind of approach. And when you take top producing salespeople and shove them into leadership roles, you're not going to get those kind of people. Because inherently, top producing salespeople end up being kind of lone wolfy and kind of selfish. There's a very different type of DNA.
Yep.
So
I agree.
These things all, you know, come together. And I think, and I'm curious what Dave's going to say, I actually think that the frontline sales manager role is on its way out and that AI and AI coaching and everything is going to kill off the need for that role. It will be one of the first few roles that I think gets replaced and sort of automated away. Because what do they really do? What are we asking them to do? Well, we're asking them to listen to calls, call coach people. They don't do that. And AI can do that nonstop on every call, does not get tired, does not give bad feedback, right? They manage people's personalities. Okay. That can be automated away as well at this point with the Richard bot and the Scott bot that we're both working on, right? So I'm curious if you agree with that. I actually think that sometime in the next 10 years, this frontline sales manager role will be dead because of these different kind of coaching tools. And the
you and outcomes, I might be dead.
And the outcome, the outcomes could be better because reps will actually get more coaching than they're getting now and better coaching. He's mulling it over there.
Who, Richard? Because Richard,
you. I'm asking you, Dave.
Oh, me. Yeah. Okay. Well, I was waiting for Richard to jump in. I've got a very, you know, I got a strong opinion on this. I don't think the sales manager role will be phased out. I think aspects I think aspects of their role will thankfully be automated in a way that can allow a sales leader to have a larger span of control. Maybe it's 15 reps instead of 8 to 10. I think that there's a human to human element that has to be in place. If, you know, one of my team members, their grandma is unfortunately suddenly very, very ill. He had to jump on a plane and go see her yesterday. So the rest of the day, you know, he's like, can't work today, can't work tomorrow. Of course, no problem. Like if he was just inputting that into an AI model and the AI model said, thank you for letting us know. You're like, well, wow, what a great, nice, caring, empathetic, you know, company.
Yeah, but that assumes the AI of right now today. And I don't think the AI of today will be that bad. I think the AI of 10 years from now will be able to communicate with empathy and understanding in ways that it doesn't right now.
It will. But here's what I would say is I think what AI will do in 10 years far surpasses what 90% of people, probably 99% of people think it can do. So I'm with you on that. I think it's going to be more like, okay, when you look at different functions, like look at what Outreach did for email messaging, right? People used to have to type emails one by one, or they put a BCC on their, you know, on their email, whatever. And suddenly emails at scale was something that it would be ridiculous for you to try and do on your own if there's a tool to do it. I think now that like the reviewing of sales calls is now that it's automated. You'd be crazy to try and sit there if you have a team of 10 reps who have 5 discovery calls a day each to try and review 3 discovery calls per rep per week. When you've got a tool that can do that now, and I think there's going to be those use cases for the different scenarios, whether it's performance management, all the different functions of a manager. I just think that you know, I haven't spent a ton of time thinking about that, but that's my gut response.
Yes, I think the human still needs a human element. I think the role of that manager will shift a lot. I think that, you know, if someone's underperforming and they're getting coaching by the bot, you know, the standard now is you pip them out and eventually you try to hug them out the door. I don't think you can automate that part. And I think people would, there'll be a challenge with, well, who's going to have those conversations? Who's going to also make sure that if people aren't performing when they still have the tool to coach them on to do things, who's going to be responsible for that? I think that's going to be the role of the sales manager, right? They're going to sort of take this general approach, military approach of moving pieces around the chessboard, and they'll insert themselves when they need to. So I don't think that role is going to go away. I think it'll, like everything else, it'll just shift dramatically. What might change that is if the SDR role goes away, right? And the prospecting piece goes away, then you may not need an SDR manager. So, that's a piece of it. I also think coming back to this, the reason that sort of back to the first question, and then Scott, I know you can disagree with me, is nobody wants to take accountability. Why is nobody coaching? Nobody wants to own it. They want to blame everybody else. And the last person to be blamed is the frontline person, SDR, AE. And nobody wants to admit their own mistakes. Nobody wants to admit that they need help, right? It's the ego of the revenue people, because we are all so smart and brilliant that we think we don't need help. And then when we do, it's too late. And so we try to blame someone else. So that's why I think this mentality still exists. That's the culture we grew up in, right? Like it's a culture, you know, I think the Gen Zs and the millennials are definitely changing that culture, and the AI will shift that culture. But that's why it's still happening with those of us who are still in charge. So
can I throw one more thing out there? I think an interesting way to look at this is that a human manager may be managing, not in 10 years, but 1 or 2 years, their team of 10 reps might now be 3 robots, 7 humans. Mm-hmm. And I think that for SMB, high velocity sales, one call closes, where a prospect comes, because we're building a model that can do that. We'll be able to do that in the next handful of months. And I feel like we've got 4 PhDs on our team who sit next to very, very sophisticated sales leaders and coaches. And we've been working with our 3.5 years of coaching data, because all of our calls were asynchronous, right? There was literally thousands of sales calls that we had humans reviewing that were recorded, which is now labeled data, which goes into this model, which now allows us, I think, to be best positioned in the industry, or at least one of the best, at creating a robot that can sell high velocity sales, or at least for now, we're going to have a solution consultant robot come in and support the team, because we all know the ratio of solution consultants to sales reps is too low. But my point is, I think we're going to see a scenario, if I had to guess, in the next handful of years, where SMB teams start to have an automated aspect to it. A prospect can choose to talk to a human or a robot. If I'm an introvert, I might prefer robot. And then I think as that gets proven out that robots are cheaper and better, like the model we're building is better than our coaches at selling. Like, that's crazy to me. But large enterprise deals, I think that's a longer tail thing and maybe a never thing. But that part I do see happening, the SMB role over the next few years, having augmented with robots.
How do you see it? Go ahead, Richard, if you got one.
Yeah, I was just going to say real quick. It'll be interesting on what the customer of the SMB is, right? If you're, for example, if you're selling to, you know, restaurants, you know, if you're a Yelp and you're selling to restaurants, in some cases, do those SMB owners want to talk to a bot, right? I think it'll be very vertical, very facing, right? So where that SMB role is a business, a B2C play, I could see that owner of that small SMB not liking that experience. Granted, we're all being conditioned to it through Amazon or Google or those things. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see where that plays out. I do agree that SMB will shift out and it'll be a PLG approach, right? But I still think there'll be a contingency of people who, you know, don't want to talk to machines in the SMB roles.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm super pro sales rep, right? That's our whole existence, is helping sales reps get better. My recommendation to SMB reps is just upskill yourself so that if that happens over the next few years, you're migrating to that next level of sales, mid-market or what have you, where we're still going to, you know, always need that higher touch kind of thing.
How do you see these coaching tools helping, if at all, in real time, in the middle of sales calls?
Yeah,
this is the part that has been very difficult for everyone to kind of nail. Everybody knows about let's practice before your call and give you some coaching. Let's break down the calls after the fact and listen to these calls. The closest thing that there's been to like real time on the call coaching is the old like whisper function in people's headsets. Mm-hmm. You know, where managers would say something and then the rep would parrot what they were saying. But one of the interesting things to me is that with the introduction of these kinds of AI coaching tools is now you can potentially introduce them into the middle of the call without the disruption of somebody whispering in your ear, perhaps. How do you see that part of this going?
Yeah. You know how we're always saying how like one of the things that irks me, and I know a bunch of us, is someone who is, let's say a CEO who doesn't know sales, is just literally sitting in a boardroom with their VP sales with a spreadsheet saying, here's what I think the forecast should be for number of SDRs to AEs, and here's therefore what I think we can achieve in revenue. In other words, what they're imagining in a boardroom doesn't actually happen in real life. I think that's kind of the same here. A lot of investors that have talked to us have said, Dave, love what you're doing. It's great. And I'm curious though, when will you get to the point where it does the whispering in your ear? And I'm like, I don't think sales reps want that, right? I think what people in the ivory tower think sales reps need and want, they don't want. And so to your point about disruption, I think of myself right now, let's say I had a little co-pilot that was jumping on the screen saying, hey, Dave, you're talking too loud. You're talking too fast. Maybe you should mention these points. I would be distracted as hell. Like if just one notification comes up, I lose my concentration.
I don't think reps can do both things at once yet. It's going to take time.
Well, you used to be able to do it. You're trying to tell me that you couldn't take coaching in the headset. Were you one of those people that couldn't do it?
I've never had that, and I would hate that.
Yeah, when we're older than you, Scott. We didn't have that capability.
Yeah, like,
we got post-it notes handed to us.
But I'll tell you this though, that the one thing I would say is, so we've learned a lot at Replays IQ in our lab about predictability of sales calls, because we measure over 150, this is fascinating. I think you guys will find this fascinating. We measured over 150 different vectors in a sales call. There are different vectors, whether it's an SMB call, mid-market enterprise, whether it's outbound generated or inbound generated, but nevertheless, vector equals scorecard question, right? How did they do on their agenda? How did they do uncovering second level pain? But what we started realizing is, oh, wow, look at this. When we get a rep that's average to low on the leaderboard, if they do these three skills really, really well, they crush it. And we're like, how does that work? So we'll see someone who's top a leaderboard at a customer of ours, and we'll look at their scorecard of 130 skills, and they'll be like bottom of the crew on skills, but they do three or four things very, very well. And guess what? Their sales leader didn't know that it was those three or four things that really matter in an introduction call or what have you. Neither would I. So our AI pattern matches to successful calls that move forward, successful and unsuccessful calls, and says, these are the crucial skills. And now that we've unearthed that, we're able to, like, our customers are now getting like 38, owner went from 38 to 53% win rate when they focused on those crucial skills. Okay, great. Nice customer story, Dave. You slid in like something that says something great about Replays IQ. But my point here is, what could we do if we know that? Well, then we can actually tell a rep mid-call, as you point out, Scott, maybe there's just one little thing that says ROI calculator, because we know from pattern matching to thousands of calls from that customer in that first call, that if it's not done at that point in time, when the prospects brought up these four questions, it needs to be done. That is what we're working on building. And so even though I'm saying it would be distracting, yada, 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 we're going to have one or two points near the end of the call that will tell you if your call is going to move forward or not. It'll say, yeah, this is going to 15 minutes before the end of the call. Or no, it's not. Here's the one reason why. Nail this now. So yes, I do think it has a place. I just think it has to be very, very much woven into how people, how humans want to sell and how they want to be coached.
That's why the manager won't go away, because it depends on how that person wants to do it, be coached. And Scott, yes, the tool could figure that out. I still think people want a human to human touch.
Not all people, Richard. Not young people.
Yeah, well,
but what they want and what they need are two different things, I think.
Well, right? That's fair. That's definitely fair. What they want versus what they need. I can hear that and agree with that. But Richard keeps saying, you know, people will always want to talk from people. No, they won't. 55-year-old people like you will always want to talk to people. Your 14-year-old son does not want to talk to people. He wants to get what he is trying to get, find a solution for whatever his problem is. And if he can do it without talking to another person, thank the heavens. That's a different life. That's a different experience.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I don't know necessarily about on the sales manager level, but sales manager, but in terms of a sales, like a prospect deciding whether they want to talk to a robot or a human, that I think is where the introverts of the world, or maybe the folks of the younger generation who skew more towards, yeah, I'd rather Google or Siri or what have you than talk.
But I agree with your take that the next evolution of that is giving people the choice. Right.
Yeah,
they don't have 100%. The choice right now. It's all human. But yep. Coming soon is the choice. Which route do you want to go? I do see that as an easy, logical kind of next step. For
yeah,
sure.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Cool. So Dave, you know, we're getting to the end of this. It's always a fun conversation with you on the cutting edge of this stuff. What do you want to ask us? Right. You bring a ton of knowledge on cutting edge stuff. What would you like to ask us? As you know, we do this at the end of every episode.
Yeah, for sure. So in terms of what are you guys seeing out there in terms of adoption of AI with respect to call coaching? And actually, let me be more specific. I'm not going to mention, pardon me, bit of a cold. I'm not going to mention brands, but if you look at top handful of conversational intelligence tools out there, what do you think the dissonance is as to why those tools say they exist to help with coaching, yet coaching doesn't really seem to be that much more streamlined? What's missing?
I think that goes back to the first part of the conversation, is that people don't know how to coach, right? So, and I haven't been, you know, used any of these tools, you know, that you're talking about lately. So I, you know, in a real world capacity, is the tool right now is giving the information and gathering it, and it's providing it to the rep. It's also providing it, I would assume, I don't know, to the manager of, hey, here's what I coached Richard on or Scott on. That manager still doesn't know how to manage human beings or have that conversation. Mm-hmm. So that's what's lacking, is leadership and training around communication skills and managing humans. None of us, unless you went to like a big company, got, you know, leadership training, coaching training, right? Management training, right? And that's a big part of the problem. And it's so necessary that, you know, there, everybody likes to say, oh, well, we do train the trainer. Okay, great. Well, who coaches the trainer on the stuff you just taught them? Nobody. The CRO is not spending time coaching them.
Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, the support of enablement is there. However, enablement gets distracted in so many ways through, you know, through nobody's fault or, you know, misguidance or direction, that even the senior leadership doesn't realize, wow, if I invested some money into coaching my managers to be better managers, how would that affect my team?
Yeah.
And they either see it as, I can train my managers to be managers, or I can train my salespeople to be salespeople. And they want what they think is the lowest hanging fruit, which is training the sales team. They won't do both. That's the big piece that I see that's missing. And these tools are trying to get you there. But until executives start to realize you got to coach and train the managers as much as you do your sales team, we're going to keep having this problem.
I agree. Scott, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I agree as well. I was actually going to say something to that extent. Now I'm trying to pivot my answer a little bit.
He doesn't like to agree with me in public.
Yeah. It's like you lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You know, we all know that we're supposed to eat right. We don't. We all know we're supposed to exercise right. We don't.
Yeah.
So, you know, these companies provide a tool that helps you do these things, but you still have to make the decision to do those things. And you combine that with a little bit of tool fatigue, because there's so many different tools that a lot of companies have. And, you know, people get away from it. And you ask about the coaching tools and stuff like that. I think some of the traditional conversational intelligence tools literally simply do not have the momentum that they used to have.
Right.
I don't know that anybody could really dispute that. There's a feeling and a sentiment that what they did and built is now commoditized and it's available everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's getting cheaper and cheaper, and I don't have to pay all this. I don't need this massive thing to listen to a call. I can have, there's a simpler, cheaper way to listen to calls. And you know, there is a lot of early momentum for like AI coaching tools. There's a lot of different solutions out there right now that are in play, including yours. And, you know, I think it's sort of like conversational intelligence era 2.0.
Yeah.
That's kind of where we're headed, but there's no real clear winner of this 2.0 era so far. And I don't know that there's mass adoption yet. There's a healthy amount of curiosity mixed with skepticism. Right. So I'll give you an example, like a personal example. It's like Richard and I both have like our own avatar, you know, digital versions of us. Richard's is the Richard bot. I can't remember what he called it. Mine is the Scott bot. Right. So I have had 100+ people play around with it in the last week or so. And I got a message from somebody this morning that was like, I had no idea that it was going to be this good and give this amount of relevant answers and adjust with my tone and sentiment and all these kinds of things. Basically, they were like, I thought this was a cool idea, but I'm shocked how freaking good it actually is.
Yep.
And I think that that's probably a pretty common reaction extrapolated out across the whole entire market. So yep. there's curiosity. There's this, wow, we're entering this 2.0 era of these conversational intelligence tools, but not widespread like adoption yet.
I think you're right. Because I think what conversational intelligence tools 1.0 did is they told you what happened in a call. What people want 2.0 to do is to tell you how your reps did in a call and how they can improve. And they want, as a rep, I want to know how I can improve and what I did well and what I didn't. And when you think about it, the skill set that's required for a company to effectively build tech to do that, they have to be specialists in sales training, like you guys, like Replace. Well, where's the team over at Gong or Zoom Info or Clary or Outreach or SalesLoft, who's a whole team of sales coaches? They just don't have them. That's not been their function. They're not a sales training company. They're like a VCR is to TVs. They record stuff, right? And so everyone's expecting these companies to come out with amazing LLMs on how to improve sales reps' performance and grade sales reps. But that's not the business they're in. There's the illusion that they're in that business because they record sales calls. But there's not a specialist in any of those companies that has a team that says, this is what great looks like in an SMB call when you're 5 minutes in. And like, whose job is that? So to me, that's the part that we cohort of companies, my hat's off to other companies like Replays IQ, we're trying to solve this. We're solving that because we actually have the data to feed an LLM that can drive significant value at the click of a button on how your team did.
Yeah, I think part of the interesting thing is that it's not going to be conversational intelligence anymore. The category is going to change to conversational coaching.
Yes.
It has to.
That's the nuance.
And my hypothesis is that those who have created and been down this, you know, conversational intelligence, I wonder if that might be jading them that it's, you know, intelligence is a noun, right? It needs to be a verb, right? It needs to be more of a verb of like conversational coaching, something you do, something that's actionable. And I don't know, they're going to rename a category. I don't think Gartner is or any of that shit, but maybe they will. Maybe there's a new category. There's intelligence and there's coaching. That to me is where I see the difference.
Agreed. One's what happened and the other is the old version, the 1.0 is what happened. The 2.0 is whatever happened, is it good or bad? And at what skill level? And it's an important nuance. The problem is a lot of people conflate the two because conversational intelligence feels like it should tell you both, but it's not. And it's the promise that was never fulfilled. And again, guys, I'm not throwing shade on any of those companies, Gong, et cetera. They've built amazing tools. It's just what people want those tools to do in coaching, they do not do. And that's what it is.
Yeah. And we wouldn't be at this stage without those kind of tools. Like you, at some point you couldn't have what we're now building. And I presume those guys are all working on it too. Like I'd be shocked if they're like, nah, we're not going to worry about that. You know,
well, OpenAI rolled out a year and a half ago. So if they're really meaningfully working on it, where the hell's the innovation?
Where have they been?
Yeah. I don't know.
That's what I want to know. Maybe, you know, companies get to a certain size and scale and innovation slows down.
Yeah. Scott, you know where they are. You know where they are. They're stuck in the getting the legal permission to do this stuff because, you know, Richard would be there.
That's
and
right.
Richard would be the guy's like, well, wait, legally, we got to see if we can do that. So,
Well, we appreciate you spending some time with us, Dave. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you, learn a little bit more about Replays IQ and all this good stuff?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the chat, guys. Thanks for inviting me back on. Yeah, for those listening, if you're interested in learning more about Replays IQ and how we can help you coach in an automated fashion, conversational intelligence 2.0, please hit me up, Dave at replays.com or connect with me on LinkedIn. And I would love to chat with you. ReplaysIQ.com. That's ReplaysIQ.com.
All right. Thanks so much, everybody. And we will see you next time on the Surf and Sales podcast.
See you, Dave. Thanks again.
See ya. Thank you.